The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
Hello, hello. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Joshua Sasso, and you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. I want to say happy Independence Day to all of you that are here in America. For those of you that are listening, we just celebrated the 4th of July, which is the birth of America. And let me tell you, God still has a great and marvelous calling for the United States of America. He is not finished with us. In fact, the greatest days of the United States of America are ahead of us. They are not behind us. We, as the body of Christ, need to just continue to focus on obeying the Lord, preaching the gospel, and being a light. And we've talked about that a bunch, right? We got to focus on being the light rather than focusing on the darkness, not complaining about how horrible things are. If there's a problem, that's why you're there. Because we are the light of the world, and the United States of America is called to be a light to all nations. Did you know that out of all the nations on the earth, the United States of America is the nation that spends the most money dedicated towards preaching the gospel and funding the kingdom of God? It's true. We are a generous nation. And the Lord knows that, despite our faults. Like, I'm not saying America is perfect, but there are many American people that have a heart for the kingdom of God. And that is an exciting and encouraging thing. I truly believe that it is the calling of the United States of America to spread the gospel in power and to be a light to all nations. And truthfully, we have been so blessed in this nation. We're only just barely 250 years old. And yet, look at how much influence and prosperity have come upon this nation. That is by the hand of God. It's not because we're so good. It's because of the grace of God and because He is a good God. But He's not finished with us yet. Okay, greater things are ahead. We must purpose in our hearts to be that light that Jesus called us to be, right? So if there is a problem in the world around you, you are supposed to be the solution, okay? So if you've been listening to a lot of negative content, if you're focusing on all the bad news and you're murmuring and complaining about all these things, stop it. You're not being productive for the kingdom of God. If there's a problem, you should be the catalyst to make things better. Now, something that I want us to understand, and this is something that God has been weaning out of the church, is our mindset surrounding full-time ministry. We need to stop exalting the position of a preacher. The highest position in the kingdom of God is not being a preacher. That is not the highest calling. Now, there are some that are called to preach and evangelize. But there are some that are also called to the marketplace in finance, business, education. Your highest calling is wherever God placed you, wherever He called you to. And you can still be a representative, an ambassador for Christ, wherever God sent you. Okay? Just because you're a Christian and you believe God does not mean you have to become a preacher. And this is something that God wants to wean His church out of, because our idea of discipleship for so long has been we're preachers and then we train other people how to preach. This is how you quote the scriptures. This is how you study the scriptures. And studying the scriptures is a good thing. But it's like we preach the same sermons. We tell the same jokes. Sometimes it's the same exact story with a little twist. We're just teaching people and training people how to preach. And then we preach at each other and we say, amen, hallelujah, and then we go home. God is sending us into the world to claim it for the kingdom of God. And I'm going to show you a couple examples of this. Because in the Bible, right, we had the apostles and the prophets, and many of those people that were called as apostles and prophets didn't always fit into our stereotypical vision of what a prophet might look like, right? When you think of a prophet, you think of somebody like Elijah, right, who goes around with his staff and his robe, and he, you know, decrees the word of the Lord, going from place to place doing that. But there were many people that were prophets that operated in business, operated in politics, and in other arenas, but they were still a prophet of the Lord. One such example of this is Abraham. You don't think of Abraham as a prophet, because Abraham didn't go around prophesying. And yet God himself refers to Abraham as a prophet. This happens in Genesis chapter 20, right? What happens? Abraham lies about his wife. He says that Sarah is his sister. And so Abimelech sees Sarah and decides, well, I want to marry this girl. And he takes Sarah and he's getting ready to marry her. And the Lord appears to Abimelech. And this is what God says to him. God says in Genesis chapter 20, verse 7, return the man's wife to him. And he's talking about Abraham, for he is a prophet. This is God speaking. Return the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you and you will live. But if you do not return her, you will be sure that you and all who belong to you will die. All right. Which, by the way, that is, you know, that's a scary thing. Abimelech, I'm sure he was scared stiff in that moment. But this is how we know that Abraham was a prophet, because God himself called Abraham a prophet. Okay, so our idea of the prophetic, maybe it needs to change, right? Where the prophet isn't always somebody who's going around giving words of knowledge, personal prophecies, laying hands on everybody. The important thing about being a prophet of the Lord is that the Lord gave you a message, right? He said, for example, to Jeremiah, say these words to the Israelites, right? He's being sent out as a messenger to God's people. The Hebrew word for prophet is the Hebrew word navi. And navi comes from that root word meaning utterance or to speak out. So a prophet is somebody sent by God as a spokesperson to speak out on behalf of the Lord. You don't have to be a preacher to do that. You know who else was a prophet? King David. David was king over Israel and Judah, and he was also a prophet of the Lord. If you look at Psalms chapter 16, David prophetically speaks of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it details how the Messiah, his body will not see decay, right? And Jesus, he went to the grave, he rose again, and he ascended on high. And then you go to Psalms chapter 110, verse 1, again, a psalm of David says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet, right? This is talking about the return of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father God until the enemies of the Lord are made a footstool for his feet. And then he goes down to verse 4 and it says, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. These are all things that David received from the Lord as he was a king over Israel. And then you read the book of Acts and they quote David talking about how these are prophetic words about Jesus Christ. Because Peter arises before the people, you know, he says of David, look, David, when he said, you did not abandon me in the realm of the dead, clearly David couldn't have been talking about himself because he died. Even though he was so great, he still died and went to the grave. And then you go to Psalms 110, and Peter says, look, why would David call himself Lord? Why would he say, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand? So it can't be David who's sitting at the right hand. He's talking about Jesus. So David was a king, and he operated in the prophetic. Not everyone is called to be a preacher. Your highest calling is to go where the Lord sent you and to operate in power and with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit there. Now, something I want to highlight is concerning what David said. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. This is something that we've talked about here on the Prophetic Voice of Our Time, is that we are now under the priesthood of Melchizedek. We are not under the Levitical priesthood. The Levitical priesthood was a priesthood where you had to be from a specific tribe of Israel. You had to be a Levite. You had to be a man. And there was all of these regulations surrounding who could be in the priesthood. The priesthood of the order of Melchizedek is a priesthood in which there was no genealogy, right? There's no records. We only know of Melchizedek. Those regulations are done away with. But I want us to take us to where we meet Melchizedek. And this is in Genesis chapter 14, verse 18. It says, "Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was a priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abraham, saying this." Now, I want to pause here. Melchizedek was a king, and he was also a priest of the Lord Most High. He was both. And this is something we as Christians are called to be. We are called to be kings, which means we have a dominion that the Lord has given us authority over. And we have a responsibility to manage that domain in a manner that is befitting of the Lord. And he was also a priest. A priest goes into the holy place, sometimes representing the people, sometimes representing themselves. But they go into the presence of the Lord, into that temple, and abide in the presence of God. We as Christians have to be both. We have to operate as a king, and we have to operate as a priest. But here, Melchizedek was a priest of the Lord Most High before the kingdom of Israel was ever established. So it precedes the Levites. It precedes the law. You know, it's before Abraham even had his son Isaac. Melchizedek was already a priest of the Lord Most High. This is the priesthood we are called under. So some of you will be operating as a king in the business arena. Maybe you own a company. Maybe you're a manager or an executive in some industry. And you will also be expected to be a priest at the same time. We cannot separate our Christian walk from our workplace or from our family or really any part of our life. Your Christian walk has to be completely integrated with every part of your life. Now, unfortunately, you know, the majority of those that are business executives, CEOs, powerful business people, they don't go to the church because, truthfully, the leaders in those church ministries don't have much to offer them. Because if all we can offer is preaching without results, what am I going to get out of this, is what they're saying. And in some ways, they're correct. For the disciples, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, what happened? They began speaking in other tongues, and people could hear them in all their own languages. They began moving in power. The very first day that the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, it said that thousands were added to their number that very day. Why? Because they could see the evidence that God was on their lives. Those people whom God is upon their life, there will be fruits that are produced as a result of it. And this is evident all throughout the scriptures. God, his spirit was with David. David was Saul's best commander. It didn't matter what mission Saul sent David on, David was successful in it, right? Even though Saul, for example, Saul was trying to plot and try to kill David. He was hoping that the Philistines, you know, he put David in bad situations, hoping that maybe the Philistines might kill David. And David always came back with a complete and total victory, okay? Because the Lord was with him. Then you consider somebody like Daniel. Daniel operated in the political sector. He was a governor in Babylon. And why did he become a governor in Babylon? Because the king recognized this man is such a productive and a wise and trustworthy person that I am going to put him over these cities and regions. And even when his enemies were plotting against him, right? And this happens with Daniel in the lion's den. People didn't like Daniel because he was such a good worker. They were afraid of him. He was competition for them. And so they sent out spies and they were trying to sneak and investigate on him. Surely Daniel's got to have some skeletons in his closet. You know, maybe he's got a mistress. Maybe he's lazy. Maybe he abuses his workers. And the scripture tells us that they could find nothing. He was trustworthy in everything that he did. He wasn't lazy. He was productive. Okay? But when there was a problem that nobody could solve, even the wisest of wise men of Babylon, they couldn't solve the problem, they sought after Daniel. And they said, well, Daniel, you have the spirit of the gods on you, right? Because they don't know the one true God. They just know about gods, right? But Daniel, I heard you have the spirit of the gods on you. And you can solve difficult problems that nobody else can do. That was the reputation that Daniel had because the spirit of the Lord was with him. And it said that God filled him with all kinds of wisdom and all kinds of understanding. Okay, so in our day and age, that means that if God sent you to the business arena, you should be operating with the Holy Spirit guiding you at your job. You should be able to develop a reputation that this is the kind of person that they are able to solve problems nobody else is able to solve. They're able to get jobs done that other people weren't able to get done. And this person, I tell you what, they have been just proven themselves trustworthy and faithful time and time again. That is the kind of reputation we have to have with ourselves, okay? The other day, I was actually speaking with a young Christian who works in the tech space as a software engineer. And he was sharing with me how he felt discouraged seeing many of the things happening in the world around him. He felt like things were getting bad. Things were getting worse. And then he said something that I found was really interesting. He said, man, I feel like I want to quit it all. And I just want to devote all of my time to studying the scriptures to get to know God more, right? I'm just going to run away from these things happening in the world and I'll just focus on studying the scriptures, okay? And we have so exalted studying of the scriptures that sometimes we forget that studying the scriptures alone is not enough. When Jesus, before he ascended into heaven, he gave us a great commission. And the commission wasn't to devote your life to studying the scriptures. The commission was to go into all the world, making disciples of all nations. And this is what I told him. I said, look, studying the scriptures is good. That's great. But you have to remember to take it with you where you go. We're called to be a light where God placed you. So if you're feeling discouraged about the things happening in the world, well, you can start being a light where you are right now. And unfortunately, this has been a negative result of so much of the focus on end time eschatologies, on the rapture, on the Antichrist, and all of these things where we're looking for the bad things. We're looking for the Antichrist. They're making the one world government. Oh man, they're going to try and make a centralized one world currency. All of these things where we're looking for the bad. And yet we are not doing anything productive for the kingdom of God. We have to remember this, guys. Does the Lord give us a spirit of fear? The answer is no. And focusing on the Antichrist and all the bad things and all these things is a trick of the devil to get us into fear, where we're going to hide away from the world rather than going into the world and being the light that Jesus Christ called us to be. So I'm not afraid of the end times. I'm not afraid of the Antichrist. And I don't even concern myself with when the end's going to happen, because, you know, Jesus himself said, it is not for us to know. He said, only the Father in heaven will know the day or the hour. So to try and predict, right, we get into all this numerology. Oh, well, this means this many years and this means this many years, right? When you try to get caught up in those things, it is a distraction from the work that Jesus called us to do. Jesus already said, you will not know. It is only the Father in heaven who knows. So to try and predict any of these things is a fool's errand. It is a waste of time, and it is distracting you from what God called you to do. Go into the world. make disciples of all nations, be a light. And like I said before, making disciples is not just preaching. Some of you that are called to the business arena, you may be mentoring other businessmen and women on how to be business owners and leaders God's way. How to hear from the Lord when you're making a difficult decision. Some of you might be mentoring others in the education space or in healthcare or tech. These are all industries that God intends to give to His church. God is sending us there now. We are all being summoned, and we need to answer the call. And as we do that, look, you're going to step into your destiny. And by extension, the United States of America is going to step into its destiny. Now, as I say this, I just want to emphasize too, you don't need to worry about making any of these things happen either. We just need to focus on obeying the Lord. If God called you to the ministry, obey the Lord. If God called you to healthcare or finance or education, obey the Lord and do it faithfully. Do it to the best of your ability and decide for yourself, I am going to be a light where God placed me. I am going to be faithful in this place that the Lord placed me. And since this is, you know, the weekend of the 4th of July, I'll end with a quote from one of our founding fathers. And this was a man by the name of John Quincy Adams. And just as a kind of a little bit of a historical context here, John Quincy Adams was the 6th president of the United States. But he's the only president in our history to serve as a congressman after serving his term as a president. Okay? So he finished serving as president, and then he went back to Congress. And he did it because he said, God still has a mission for me here that I have to finish accomplishing. And the mission that God put in his heart was the abolition of slavery here in America. In his own words, he said that he believed slavery was a sin before the Lord Almighty, and that God called him to play a role in having it uprooted out of this nation. Now, John Quincy Adams was working against slavery for years and years and years, trying to get them to pass laws abolishing the slave trade. I mean, and it's just he kept going after it and after and after every single year, so much so that, you know, they tried to put a gag order on him, and they succeeded for a while, where they made it difficult to talk about slavery, which is ridiculous. But, you know, I want to let you guys know this. There's corrupt politicians today. We had corrupt politicians then too, okay? That's the way it is, humans are sinful. They can be corrupted. And there are wicked people that try to vie for power. John Quincy Adams was fighting against those sorts of things. And in this day and age, there are wicked laws still on the books that are a sin before the Lord. It's the truth. But we need to be faithful in obeying the Lord and deciding, you know what, if God called me to fight this, to go down this path, then I'm going to do it. Now, what happened was John Quincy Adams had been trying to fight year after year after year after year to get them to abolish slavery. He had not been making any headway. And one day the media came up and approached him. And they said, John Quincy, why do you keep doing this, man? Clearly, you haven't been making any progress. Why would you keep doing this? You're making a fool of yourself. And what he said was this, and I just think this is so amazing. He responded and said, duty is ours. Results are God's. And there's no more perfect way that you could put it than that. Our duty is just to obey the Lord. We don't need to worry about how that sea's going to part or how that mountain's going to move. We obey the Lord. God takes care of the results. And so if there's anything that I want to leave you with, it's that. God has called you to a great and mighty work, some of which may seem impossible, that it's going to take a miracle to make it happen. Don't worry about how it's going to happen. Just obey the Lord and let the Lord work through you. We live in exciting times, brothers and sisters. America's greatest days are ahead of it. God intends that this nation will truly become a light for all nations. And I'm really excited to see that happen. But I'm out of time for this week, so I want to thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Joshua Sasso, and you've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. We really hope you were blessed by today's episode. And if you were, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 210-695-1630. Or you can email us at sogmi@outlook.com. That's sogmi@outlook.com. And we really encourage you to visit our website, sogmi.org. That is sogmi.org. That's where you can listen to previous episodes of this podcast and even support this broadcast. We're supported by listeners just like you. So if you want to support this ministry, you can go to sogmi.org and hit the donate button. You can also send a check to P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Again, that is P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023.